Hello, hello. This is Susie McMahon. I'm your podcast host for Luxurious Journeys and Wellness. Welcome to my Wind Down Wednesday show. I am a luxury travel advisor, Reiki practitioner, and coordinator in lead of a darn unique virtual book club. My guest today is Carlos Ramirez of Cork Expeditions. Join us as we discuss sustainable adventure travel to the ends of the earth, travel to the Arctic and Antarctica. I hope you enjoy our podcast today as we discuss sustainable travel along with adventures that are a trip of a lifetime, an experience of a lifetime. Enjoy. Hey everybody, it's Susie with Wind Down Wednesday, and my guest was with me and somehow he disappeared. So let me send a quick text to him to try to see where he went. And I will just stand by with me. All right. Hi, Carlos. How are you?
How's it going?
Oh, great. Welcome to Wind Down Wednesday. I'm so glad to see you again. I'm going to raise my glass. It's one of those days in Colorado where I am like mentally forcing. There you go. Cheers to you. Carlos is in Miami, everybody. He's pouring himself a beverage. I hope all of you out there are either already wound down from your day, or if you're out here in Colorado, we're going to say cheers. I always do it backwards. Cheers, so, Carlos.
Ching, ching.
Ching, ching. Everybody, it's Wind Down Wednesday, and I'm Susie McMahon, and I have an incredible guest this evening. We have Carlos Ramirez. He is from Cork Expeditions. And Carlos and I met, I was on the other side of a screen while he gave a presentation to us that my head agency, which is Trips and Ships Luxury Travel, did for us earlier in the year. And then we were able to interact on Clubhouse in a room along with Angela Hughes. And tonight I just want to give the floor to Carlos while we do an interactive conversation about sustainable expedition travel to either the Arctic, to Greenland, or to Antarctica. Carlos, welcome. Can you give us all an overview of who you are and what Cork Expeditions is all about?
So let me share my screen. I have a quick deck that I'll go through, and then we'll make it interactive here, as interactive as we can.
Marvelous.
So here I am. My name is Carlos Ramirez, and I'm the business development manager for the Southern region for the incredible company, Cork Expeditions. We are the leaders in polar adventures. And so our company just focuses on polar travel. A little bit about my background, I spent 27 years in the industry, and most of my 27 years were spent with a larger brand. So 20 years with the Royal Caribbean brands, specifically mostly with Celebrity. And then I also spent 5 years with the Norwegian brands, for a great amount of time working with strategic accounts in that area. But when I left Norwegian, I had the opportunity to jump into a product like Cork Expeditions that is one of the fastest growing segments of travel before obviously the COVID-19 pandemic hit. We had a lot of companies just focusing on expedition travel. So by percentage, you're looking at probably the fastest growing segment in cruising is expedition travel. So very exciting times. And so I got the opportunity also to experience the Arctic with Cork Expeditions firsthand. So that was one of my more memorable trips.
Fantastic. I can't wait to see what you have to share with us.
So really quick here, as far as Cork's history, we've been traveling to the polar regions for 3 decades. We were actually the first company to take guests to the geographic North Pole, as done in a icebreaker. And so we only do polar. If you remember one thing about us, is that we only do polar. We certainly focus on having the most experienced team in the polar regions, both on land and in the water. And so lots of experience. Every person at Quark gets the opportunity on a yearly basis to travel on our product. And, you know, when you talk about sustainability, everybody through and through is just really focused on the environment, really focused on both sustainability practices at home and in the office. So we bleed sustainability in everything we do. So we certainly focus on getting off the ship and going in deeper than any other company does. And what we say in our, when it comes to our product, we only want to leave our footsteps behind. And so to give you an example, when we go to the Arctic, there's a lot of currents that drive garbage up to the Arctic regions. And in most landings, whenever we see garbage that doesn't belong there, that we understand it doesn't belong there, we'll take up these large garbage bags and we'll just pick up any random pieces of garbage that we will find. And so what we like to say is that the only things that we want to leave behind is our footsteps and just leave everything the way it is. And so that's huge. And we do that also through engagement and education of our guests on board as well. We don't, you know, obviously talk as much about what we're doing and who we're contributing to, but we're certainly doing a lot when it comes to the contributions to different organizations like Polar Bears International, Penguin Watch, many organizations that we're working with to, you know, focus on the wildlife and the sustainable practices in these areas, as well as we belong to a certain group of companies that belong to this organization called IACO in the north for the Arctic, and it's basically for all Arctic operators. And then IATO in the south is the organization that manages or companies that travel in the Antarctic regions. And so certainly our product is about also, you know, obviously focusing on the immersive nature experiences. We take many precautions when encountering any type of wildlife at Quark. So to give you an example, I got the opportunity to see these walruses. They were just basically coming back from a, you know, nice dinner. And so you can see them bobbing in and out of the water. I was coming in with the Zodiac. We're coming in real slow. And then when we get to the edge of the island, there's probably a couple hundred walrus just sitting out, just basically taking naps and grunting. And so you can imagine what the smell was like, the sound, and we were very silent. And so what we do, we set up a really quiet perimeter around the walrus. Everybody's very silent. You know, the only thing you hear is just whispers and then the clicking of the cameras. And everybody actually, you know, there's a lot of photographers that put their cameras on silent so that we wouldn't be disturbing these animals. And we just got to experience this firsthand, you know, in nature. And, you know, of course, the only walrus that I've seen was, you know, either at an aquarium or at a zoo.
Right.
But to see them in their natural habitat is pretty, pretty amazing. So for those of you that are interested in sustainability, we also have one of the few companies that posts our sustainability report that's on our website. And so if you want to learn more about all of our practices, that sustainability report is available for you on our website. But I'll talk a little bit more in a slide that I have coming up about, you know, some of the things we're doing around sustainability. And then, of course, you know, with health and safety, we want to be the leaders in health and safety. And we felt like we've been the leaders in health and safety. So we have a lot of precautions around, you know, pre-COVID and post-COVID on what we're going to be doing. And then, of course, it's all about the offshore. So these are all of our vessels here. The cool thing about Quark is that all of our vessels are under 200 passengers.
So real quick, let me interrupt, Carlos. I'm not seeing your share. So
okay.
Try one more.
Go back in here.
While you're doing that, I will just let Karen know. I see that you're watching, Karen Dreher. I'm so glad you joined us tonight, and a few other of my friends and clients. Carlos and I met on Clubhouse recently, and we have been able to I've been able to learn a lot from him, and I was so excited that he said we could share tonight. So I'm going to turn off my banner going underneath, and it looks like I see the fleet.
Beautiful. Display.
You've got the mic. Go for it.
Excellent. So Quark, the cool thing about Quark, and I think what makes us special is the fact that all of our vessels are under 200 passengers. A vessel under 200 passengers means that you're going to be able to experience everything that the organizations have to offer. So prior to the season, you know, the Arctic and Antarctic season, they will announce that for this coming Antarctic season, we're going to have 48 possible landing spots. And then any ship under 199 will have access to all 48 landing locations, where ships that are larger will probably have, you know, above 200, will have somewhere in the 15 range. And then any ship that's, you know, your typical larger mass market type line, it's basically just a drive-by, a cruise-by Antarctica. And so, you know, our vessels are purposely built for Arctic and Antarctic exploration. When it comes to sustainability, we have a lot of different practices for, you know, for all of our vessels when it comes to the fuel, single-use plastics, the reduction of carbon emissions. But now that we've been in the industry this long, we decided to build our first new build, which is Ultramarine, and that's going to be the ship that I'm going to focus on.
Wow, it's beautiful. It's a beautiful vessel.
It is a gorgeous vessel. Yeah. We took her the keys in Split, Croatia. And then basically this is 30 years of our experience have been put into this particular vessel. The twin Airbus helicopters will allow you to then do some helicopter activities. The reason we chose these higher end helicopters is because the noise pollution on both of these helicopters is the lowest noise pollution of any unit out there. And so they have twin engine, enclosed rotor in the tail, which is very important for the noise activity. And it will allow us to operate safely. And then it'll give us another layer to both safety as well as exploration. We'll be able to fly a little bit further. Of course, this is based on any of the rules that are put in place. There are locations in the Arctic and in Antarctica where we're not going to be able to fly the choppers because of the wildlife, or maybe there might be a lot of birds. And also this vessel will feature 20 rapid deploying Zodiacs at the sea level. The one of the coolest features that this ship has is the MAG system. And if you would ask me the scientific name for the MAG system, I would probably kill it. But basically what this MAG system does, it takes all of our garbage that we can incinerate, it processes everything through this MAG system and basically turns this garbage into what they call a biochar. And from what I've learned lately, that biochar is well sought after because a lot of people are using that biochar to to plant their plants and use it for dirt. And so that's one of the cool systems that we have in place. The other thing that I learned about Quark Expeditions is the fact that the fuel that we purchase for our ships burns cleaner. So that's the way that we're reducing our carbon emissions, is by buying more expensive fuel that burns cleaner. And in that way, what we're releasing back into the environment is a safe, a safer byproduct than your typical steamships or regular diesel vessels that are out there. And then of course, when it comes to sustainability and the vessel itself, we're going to have places like our spa at sea with a sauna. So we're really excited because this is the first time that we will have a sauna on our vessel.
That's for all of my wellness clients out there.
Yes.
That. Wow.
It's going to have a yoga room. It's going to have some treatment rooms as well. Even the products that we're purchasing are products that are biodegradable, and we're buying them from an ultra sustainable company as well. And we're about to announce, the product names, but even the products that we're looking to purchase for our spa are coming from a company that's fully sustainable and, have like-minded practices like Quark. And everybody that we deal with at Quirk, whether we're buying, you know, cups or plates, whatever we're purchasing, we want to make sure that the company we're working with is a, you know, highly sustainable company as well. And so it's not just about how we operate, but who we work with as well.
Fantastic.
I'll open it up. If you have any questions, I can jump into the Arctic and then Antarctic after that, if you like.
So right now I normally get the most questions from Karen and she hasn't given me some. So I can keep going back and listening. But yeah, go ahead and go into the Arctic and then, okay. Go right ahead.
Perfect. Mm-hmm. Let me show off the Arctic map here. So the Arctic, the top of the world, is comprised of the Canadian High Arctic on your left, which is an area that is incredibly popular when it comes to companies that are you know, exploring these areas. But what makes Quirk different is that we were going to have some really cool experiences, and most of these experiences will be starting from Toronto. So if you're flying from somewhere in the U.S., flying into Toronto is going to be a little bit easier than maybe flying to like a place like Oslo. And so we're going to have the Canadian High Arctic. We're going to have itineraries that will feature Eastern, Western, and Southern Greenland. We will also have our most popular itinerary, which is our Svalbard itinerary, or Spitsbergen. And basically, Spitsbergen is the largest island of the Svalbard archipelago. And then on this island, we have more polar bears than people living on this island. And so we tend to navigate through the waters of Spitsbergen in and out of different glacier systems. And sometimes if the ice conditions allow us to go through the entire and circumnavigate the entire island, we will do so. Many companies tend not to take that risk, but because we've been operating in these waters for so many years, we are able to then go all the way around the full island where other companies might not offer that full circumnavigation. And also, I think that probably the most epic trip that we have in our options would be the North Pole trip. So we take two trips a year to the geographic North Pole. That's 90 degrees north, straight to the top. On my trip that I went on to Spitsbergen, we got to 80 degrees north. So we were about 400 miles from the North Pole, which was, I thought, the coolest thing in the world, because I take out my phone, I show my pictures, and then on your iPhone, if you scroll up, if you have your geolocation set up, it'll show you exactly where in the world you took that picture. And then as you zoom out, you show people, you show off, like, look how far north I was. So that was a pretty amazing trip. And then we also do the Russian High Arctic. This is a pretty new itinerary we've been focusing on. We've been going to Franz Josef Land for a while, but we just added places like Norovaya Zemlya and Zervynaya Zemlya. These are areas that if you look at land discoveries, these were probably the most recent land discoveries were made in the Russian High Arctic. Some of the land discoveries date back to like 1914. So if you think about just land discoveries, you know, that's pretty recent, you know, compared to all the other historic land discoveries we've had in the world. And so the way we came up with this itinerary, it's like a typical explorer. We took one of the heads of our product innovation and two expedition guides. We rented a Russian sailboat with a Russian captain. We sent that sailboat out, and basically we tracked where we wanted to land. And of course, we're working with the Russian government and things like that. So, you know, we're getting permission for all these itineraries. And then we came back, had all the intel, and then boom, we created this incredible Russian High Arctic itinerary. And, you know, we had first hand experience, you know, traveling to these areas for many, many years. And so we were allowed to go in here and choose some places that we can travel to. And then we developed that itinerary that way.
That is absolutely amazing. It's just, yeah, my husband is a pilot and he's always like magnetic north or true north. So it's true north. Right?
True north, correct.
True north. Okay. Thank you.
So we go as far north. You know, so there are clients that of ours that are looking to cross the Arctic Circle or the Antarctic Circle. And so we are, you know, it's very important for them to say, well, you know, I got as far north as the Arctic Circle. And so if you have people and, you know, some of your guests on this line will probably might be looking at, okay, what's the difference between just going to Norway or going as north as, you know, crossing the Arctic Circle, sometimes it does make a huge difference. Some of the feelings that came from this trip were almost like a meditative state. And so just think of a place where there's nobody else in the distance. You're sharing this incredible experience with everybody on your vessel, with our expedition guides and leaders, and they get equally as excited when they see wildlife or they see that first polar bear of the voyage, because they're, you know, they love it. No matter how many times they've seen polar bears, that excitement of seeing that first polar bear is pretty incredible. So they share that with you. And when you make it onto land and you're able to just sit back and breathe the air, in certain cases, we had absolutely perfect weather, and you just sit back and there's just nothing around. And I think of places like that. I've been to Alaska 3 or 4 times, and you know, unfortunately, in Alaska, when you go, you're normally going with 2,000 other guests, and so there's only a certain amount of time that you can go on your shore excursion and then get back to the ship. You know, with us, we give you enough time to just really soak it all in. Whether it's sights, sounds, smells, and I felt like I was in a complete meditative state. It was just the most incredible feeling I've ever had in my.
Yeah, it's like how you can't be any more present, because one, you're unplugged, and two, you have a collective energy with everyone you're with, and then to be able to travel with the scientists and the experts that are with you would just be absolutely amazing to me.
And that is a good pickup. So. Mm-hmm. Wife was desperate. She couldn't get a hold of me for 5 days because these little electronics do not work up there. And that's the best part about it. Your iPhone or your Samsung phone, mm-hmm. they take really high grade, you know, pocket cameras that take amazing pictures. So I would always tell folks, bring your phone and bring your camera, because you're going to use both. And your phone sometimes, you know, serves as an incredible camera if you need to pick something up real quick or take a picture of something really quick. And so that's really important, you know, the fact that I was completely disconnected. I'm a basketball fan. I was completely disconnected with like NBA finals. Like I had no idea who's winning the NBA finals, but it was a risk that something that I had to trade off. It was a trade off, and I'll take a trip to the Arctic region, you know, before any NBA final.
A question did come across.
Yes.
Do you have professional photographers that travel on the expeditions in case someone wants to not try to capture it on their own and just be present in the experience?
Yes, we do. So Quirk does something really cool. So pretty much, to be honest with you, every single person that's on the ship, I would say 4 out of 5 people have the most amazing cameras on hand. So pretty much everybody's a professional photographer when they're sailing with us. Not just our guests, but our expedition staff and leaders. We always have one professional photographer that's on board. Like, for example, on my voyage, we had Acacia Johnson, one of the most awarded female photographers in the world. She shot for National Geographic. She shot for, you know, multiple organizations. Incredible photographer. And she led some of the tours out for photography. And what happens at the end of each day is that we have like this, almost like a photo sharing contest. Everybody's like sharing their best photos into this centralized hard drive that we have on the vessel. And then what happens at the end of the voyage is that the captain uploads all of the pinpoints from the map and then some of the ice charts into the shared system. And then when you come back home, you have a link to your voyage with the maps, all of the pictures, including the picture of you jumping into.
I want to see.
And so you're able to take all these photos and download them for free, and there's no cost for that.
What do you have a picture of you doing that? I forgot.
I'm coming up. Great question.
I'll be patient.
I have more than a picture, so let me go through this presentation with you here, and then I'm going to talk.
Wonderful. Antarctica voyage. Okay.
And so so we do top of the world, which I mentioned, and now we do the bottom of the world. So when it comes to the bottom of the world, it's pretty much a basic itinerary for everyone. Most companies are going down to Ushuaia, and most of their ships are sailing from Ushuaia, crossing the Drake Passage onto the peninsula, you know, we tend to have a great variety of itineraries. So we have a couple of options. So if you are looking at an Antarctic voyage, whether you're looking at us or any other company that's out there, the first thing that they're going to ask you is, do you get seasick? And if you do, be prepared, because the Drake Passage is probably one of the roughest bodies of water in the world. When I started at Cork, I couldn't understand why we would scare people on our brochure, because of the, you know, it takes about roughly 36 hours, and it could be as flat as a lake. They call it the Drake Lake, call it the Drake Shake. It could be, you know, 30-foot seas, 20-foot seas. And so there are a lot of folks that tend to say, you know what, I want to say that I survived the Drake Passage, so they'll do the sail across. And so the sail across will include, you know, the peninsula, or you can do more of an epic type of itinerary and visit the islands of the Falkland Islands or South Georgia Island. I always say that if you can add another little extra layer to your trip, I always say that you need to include South Georgia Island. So South Georgia Island has a lot of history. Specifically, that's the resting place for Sir Ernest Shackleton. And, you know, obviously the Shackleton expeditions are, you know, super famous, you know, a lot of history around Shackleton. And when it comes to Shackleton as well, you know, there's a burial site that we visit, as well as when you land in South Georgia Island, you also see this incredible rookery of penguins, probably the largest in the world. You have close to like 500,000 penguins at your feet. And basically we set up this incredible perimeter around the penguins, and you just basically get on your knees and you see these penguins. Depending on the time of the season, they could be in their courtship, where they're, you know, basically taking care of the eggs, and the males normally take care of the eggs and the females go out to hunt. Yeah, it might be the adolescent stage where the penguins come out like very furry. They look like they have fur coats, and then all of a sudden they start losing their sheen. And then towards the latter season, then you're seeing more of the younger penguins with no sheen. And then, you know, they're starting kind of like their swim trials and going out and, you know, becoming penguins.
Swim trials.
So, yeah. So that's kind of like the life of a penguin. But the cool thing about Cork, and, you know, the thing that it makes us unique, is that we also have run a fly cruise program. So you get seasick, maybe you want more of an express route. We have a fly cruise program that starts in Punta Arenas, Chile. I'll go through that here. The Drake Passage here, as you can see, it could be really rough or it could be really smooth. But then the fly cruise program allows you to fly across in a chartered plane down to King George Island, as you can see there on the right, bypassing the Drake Passage. You get down to King George Island, the ship will be waiting for you, and then you start your adventure on the other side, therefore not having to endure the Drake Passage. So the great thing about Cork is that we offer both. Fly across the Drake, or you want to sail across the Drake, we have that for you. We've been running this program for 8 years and been pretty successful. Very few delays and very few cancellations. I think in our 8 year history of running this program, we might have had, you know, maybe five delays and maybe one cancellation in our history.
So that was just a question that came up for me. I mean, I'm one of these boat travelers that I go scuba diving and things like that, but I do experience seasick, motion sickness. So I'm always like, okay, I got to get in the water. Obviously, the Drake Passage would probably be a challenge for me. So if I opted for the fly to get there, would the ship wait for the flights if there was any kind of issue trying to leave?
Yeah. So the ship basically, so the ship has to wait for everyone, because basically everybody that's going on that ship is flying across the Drake in two charter planes. So can't leave. And so what'll happen is that, so we'll make an announcement early morning, the first day of the attempt. We'll make an announcement. Everybody grab your bags. We're going out to the tarmac. We're flying out. And then in certain cases, sometimes we'll have storms that come through. We have heavy fog. We might have situations where, maybe the winds are strong. And so there could be multiple delay reasons. But at the end of the day, We'll try the flight on the next day as well. And normally we have pretty good success rate when we go on the next day. Normally storms will pass through and then we'll go down and fly down. But the ship will be waiting with for everyone, because everybody that's sailing on that vessel is on these planes.
Okay, perfect. That's so exciting.
So what does Quirk do when we get off the vessels? So in places like Antarctica, we have stand-up paddle boarding. In places like the Arctic, we have hot air ballooning above the North Pole. And that's a North Pole feature, that we have a hot air balloon above, right on the top of the North Pole. With the options of having a helicopter, we're going to be doing now heli hiking, heli mountain biking, heli alpine kayaking. Eventually, we're going to develop a heli skiing program as well. But we're going to be doing heli mountain biking, heli alpine kayaking, where we'll take the helicopters to this alpine lake and drop you off there with our expedition staff and go and discover this alpine lake that maybe has never seen people in a kayak. And then we also have lots of complimentary experiences like the polar, like the guided tours with experts. We also have once a sailing, or actually a couple of times a sailing, we'll have a photography focus group that will go out, and then you will go with the photo experts out there to take incredible photography. We normally have a briefing the night before that goes through everything that you need to know about photography, from exposure to lenses to filters and things like that. We'll do the full briefing, and then we'll go out to a on a landing with our top photographer on the vessel. And then let me share with you some other options here. As you can see here, these are all the options that we offer throughout our fleet. You know, multiple types of kayaking, camping in Antarctica. We can do camping in the Arctic because of the polar bears. They're the apex predator. They don't really discriminate. They'll eat anything. But for those of you that are into wildlife, we certainly take precautions when we see what polar bears. In most cases, we're seeing them from the ship, from the main ship, or from the Zodiac. It's been very rare that we've had encounters with polar bears on land. And, you know, we have a lot of different like repellents, like noise repellents. Normally the noise repellents will scare a bear away pretty quickly, but we have all the safety precautions that we need. Of course, as you get on Ultramarine, it's a newer ship with newer features. So more to do with the helicopters, and, you know, having two helicopters with 20 helipads gives us, you know, the ease of being able to operate the helicopter safety with a lot of safety, because, they say in the helicopter business, one helicopter is like having no helicopters. And so, let's say one unit of ours doesn't work properly, we're able to send the second unit to pick up clients, you know, and fly them back onto the ship. And then the twin engines also allow us to operate the helicopter with one engine if we needed to as well. And then let me share with you basically my polar plunge. So I was one of the only, I was actually the only one on the vessel that had a GoPro strapped to his chest. Uh-huh. An announcement and say, all right, folks, anybody that wants to jump, do the polar plunge, come out on the lower deck, put on your bathing suit. They start pumping music throughout the ship. Some people decide to maybe do a stop at the bar and get some liquid.
Get some courage.
I Googled a lot of stuff. What happens to your body when it hits Arctic, frigid waters? Should I go exercise? So my methodology was like, I'm going to go to the gym. I am going to get on the treadmill. I'm going to run about 2 miles, get my body really warm. So when I hit the water, maybe it feels better. I don't know. It's just, that was me. My mental thinking was, whatever makes you feel more comfortable, do it. And so at that point in time, you walk out on deck, they put the safety harness around your belly, and then you count 1, 2, 3, and here you go.
Can't wait. Oh, so your heart kept beating, step one. Oh, that's fantastic. That's kind of upside down because it's coming from your...
Yeah, it's coming from my chest. So yeah, there's no way of recording it. But as you can see there, it's just
and pretty incredible. Were you literally just in a bathing suit? You weren't in a wetsuit?
I was in a bathing suit. I wore my favorite sports team's t-shirt. You know, I wore a Miami Hurricanes t-shirt, you know, representing mm-hmm. you. Some people were, you know, and skimpier bathing suits, you know, Speedos for the gentlemen. And some ladies you know, wetsuits, but to be honest with you, you're literally in the water 4 or 5 seconds. So you hit the water, and then somebody should have told me that when you hit the water, close your mouth because you're going to swallow that water. So as soon as you hit the water's so cold that you're opening your mouth and you're like gasping and you like drink a little bit of salt water, but you come out, you know, and we have
that's the true meaning of a polar plunge. Everybody
absolutely
tries to do, yeah, everybody tries to do different versions of it for fundraisers and things like that. My only version I did recently is in Colorado. I went on a winter spa getaway, and I had seen on some show, you know, how good it is for your lymphatic system and your skin if you go from the hot tub to the snow. So we did that. Now, I videotaped my friends that were nice and thin and whatever, but I was like, do not videotape me. But it actually was a crazy experience to go from those two temperatures, and my heart kept beating, so everything was wonderful. But so speaking
of... I feel you. Yeah. I feel you because my heart was beating so fast that I completely forgot to hit stop on my camera, and so I recorded myself for the next 10 minutes of high-fiving everybody. talking to my roommate and all this stuff, but it was a pretty exciting deal. And, you know, the best thing is that you get this patch that says that you did the polar plunge, and then behind the patch, it has the coordinates of exactly where you jumped into the water. So again, talk about a keepsake. That's a pretty incredible keepsake. And we had 120 people on the vessel and only 40 people did it. So 40 people can say that they had this most amazing experience. Of course, there was the guys that try swimming across to the other Zodiac because we have a second safety Zodiac that's a little bit further out just in case. We have a harness around you, and then we normally have like two of the biggest expedition leaders that can just pull you right out.
Mm-hmm.
Roommate did it. He's from the Northeast. He's had no need to learn how to swim, and he did it not knowing how to swim without a life vest. He just jumped in and just a doggy paddle, and they'll pull you out. And he did it, so that was pretty incredible.
That's something. I'm a big swimmer, or I used to be. I would love to do that. That sounds
It's a must if you ever try it out. So
what's this here? You're the leader in health and safety.
So health and safety is really we're focused on health and safety. So obviously, you know, in the upcoming new travel world, when we reopen back up here. You know, certainly the cleanliness of the vessels, the health and safety of our fellow passengers and staff, as well as, you know, our environment is the utmost importance for us coming up here. Of course, we have all the programs out there to, you know, when it comes to safe, when it comes to protecting your investment as well. So it's not just your program. And so we have different protocols when it comes to also the booking process and the testing process. We're going to have all the proper testing. We want you to feel that once you book with Cork, when you get down to the, you know, the first time that you see one of our crew members, and that's our ground staff, we want to make you feel at home. So we have all of the, you know, different safety features covered when it comes to testing and pre-testing and post-testing and during testing. We have all of those machines in-house on our vessels and on land that we're going to be able to run everything we need when it comes to safety and all the testing. And then when it comes to our Polar Promise, it's focused around our principles and our partnership, and then causing and creating a positive impact on our environment. So we have one of the most comprehensive sustainability strategies in the polar regions. We focus since 2010, we've decreased our emissions by 28%, which is a pretty huge number.
Mm-hmm.
In 2017, we were one of the first companies to eliminate single-use plastics. You know, we didn't go out and say, well, you know, we are eliminating single-use plastic. We just did it on our own because we understood that the harm that it causes the environment. I do a lot of beach cleanups here in South Florida, and you'd be surprised how many plastic sandals, toothbrushes, you know, the styrofoam containers, and then just cutlery that I find when I do these beach cleanups. You'd be amazed how much plastic washes on to land. And of course the, you know, the dreaded, you know, shopping bags that you get at your supermarket are always floating around, which is the worst. But, you know, when it comes to, our sustainability practice, you know, we're pretty strong when it comes to everything that we're doing, as well as, by 2025, we aim to reduce our carbon emissions by another 10%, ensuring that we can protect all the areas that we visit. And so, last year we, wrote our first, sustainability report and reported that. And, you know, moving forward, we're going to have a full sustainability report so that we can be transparent in the way we operate.
Wonderful.
If you have any other questions, that's my little talk on Quirk Expeditions. I'll open it up to any questions you might have.
Thank you. Carlos, I really appreciate you sharing that with us. And those that are listening to audio on podcast, you can always hop over and see this actual video where you can follow me on Facebook. But I wanted to ask one final question for someone that may be brand new to expedition travel at this level. What adventure, what excursion, what itinerary would you recommend for someone who has maybe traveled to a lot of different countries and different continents, and they're looking to do something really ultimate bucket list level? What step would you say? Would you say the Arctic, the Northern route, or the Antarctic?
Yeah, so let me set it up this way. So I'm going to give you two suggestions, one for each pole. But if somebody asks you, all right, where would you like to travel first? My choice would certainly be Antarctica. Most people that are chasing that seventh continent, Antarctica is the last continent that they're chasing. And so that's certainly, you know, one of the goals that I would have is going down on Antarctica. When it comes to wildlife, the wildlife in Antarctica just sits at your feet. There's not a lot of, you know, I wouldn't call it chasing. You don't have to look far to find the wildlife. It basically just hits you it doesn't hit you in the face, but it's sitting on your in the face. It's everywhere, whether it's whales, penguins, you know, seals and things like that. When you go to the Arctic, it's more elusive. There's a lot of birds out in the water. It's more pristine, a little more quiet. And so there's that hunt of finding that wildlife, or maybe seeing something in the water that maybe looks like a bear, but it ends up being just dirty ice. So there's that thrill of finding that first, you know, wildlife, whether it's walruses or bears or, you know, whales and things like that. So when, you know, my suggestion, if you're looking at any of the itineraries, you know, certainly do Antarctica. You're going to, you know, check off a lot of boxes. You know, it's pretty easy to get down to Argentina. When it comes to Argentina, there's obviously some really cool places and great places to visit in Argentina if you want to extend your stay, or if you just want to do an express trip, we have those trips for you. So certainly the date range that I would suggest for you to kind of get the maximum experience is for a shorter period is that 8 to 10 day range would be the perfect period. You know, normally in the 10 day range, you're going to be able to, you know, really experience it well. If you can afford a little more time, maybe take a 16 day trip in Antarctica that will allow you to maybe add South Georgia Island. And a lot of folks that are coming to our product are coming over, believe it or not, as first time travelers or first time cruisers. And some of them have maybe gone to Africa several times, because the way we host our clients on our ships, it's almost like you're in a safari. As a matter of fact, this trip I went on was a polar bear safari. Your base camp is the vessel. The only difference is with us is that we're moving the vessel from location to location. So we're moving our base camp via a vessel, where, you know, maybe in a safari, you're setting up your base camp and then you're packing up and then maybe going to another location using vehicle. With us, your base camp moves around. And then instead of having a Jeep, you have a Zodiac that takes you around. So a lot of folks that have been on safaris tend to then look at a polar expedition as their next trip. So we're seeing a lot of folks that are coming over from, you know, the safari world, as well as places like the Galapagos, South America, the Amazon, maybe some more type of exotic travel to like places like Norway. And then in the Arctic, the best itinerary to take if you really want to experience it, and probably the easiest place to fly to, is to Oslo, Norway. And then you can take one of those introductory trips to Spitsbergen, where you're going to go and see the polar bears in their natural habitat. It's a pretty, easy route to get to Oslo. In my case, I flew from Miami to England to Oslo. And then Oslo is just a beautiful city. I would say spend 2 or 3 days in Oslo, because you have places like the Viking Museum, you have the Kon-Tiki Museum, you have places like the Fram Museum that is dedicated to polar exploration. So if you're into museum, if you're into food, if you're into nightlife, I think Oslo provides you a little bit of everything. And then you almost feel like you're ready to go home after your time in Oslo. But then that's when the real experience starts. That's when you have to fly. You go to the back to the airport. You take the train through the countryside back to the airport. And then you get on your charter flight and you fly to Longyearbyen. And you land on Spitsbergen. And it's almost like landing on the moon. You're landing in beautiful mountain range with all these like dark colors and snowy mountains, and the pilot does an incredible job and lowering, bringing the plane just high enough that if it's a sunny day, you almost feel like you can reach out the mountains by hand. And so the airplane is pretty empty, so you're going back and forth from window to window, taking pictures because you're so excited that you're seeing this beautiful mountain range. And then all of a sudden you fly down, you land in between these mountains, and here you are in Spitsbergen. You take a quick transfer over to the ship, and then you start your adventure, and that's when, the real adventure starts. But one of the most epic trips that I've taken in my lifetime, and I'm hoping to share more after this Antarctic season, because it looks like I hopefully will get an opportunity to go down in Antarctica coming up here pretty soon as well. And hopefully it'll be on one of the brand new vessels, but otherwise, certainly very excited to go down in Antarctica coming up.
Oh, how exciting. I'm so envious. So I need to keep pushing Angela to do a group trip, correct? That's my marching orders. And then
she has a date. I sent her options.
Ooh, all right. I will ask her next time.
Options are delivered. Let's
put get it done
together. Yeah. There's nothing like experiencing such an epic trip with people that you really get along with and that you travel with. This is a product that I met so many interesting people from all parts of the world. It takes you back to the days of travel where you sit down at dinner, you have meaningful conversations. There's no rush to leave dinner.
Right.
There's no, second seating's coming, so we have to clean the table. And you have great conversations, you share, you break bread with some really great people, including our expedition leaders that dine with you as well during breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So they're there with you sharing their stories, and you have them on almost on a one-on-one basis, which is another layer to our enrichment at dinner time.
That's fantastic. Well, gosh, we have been able to have a wonderful conversation tonight over our beverages for Wind Down Wednesday. And your what do you have there? You have something refreshing.
So, so I have a hazy IPA is what I'm drinking. I'm more of a IPA. If you like beers, I'm into IPAs. And this specific one is a hazy IPA. It's kind of been my flavor palette as of lately. It's, of course, a Quirk Yellow because I have my Quirk Parka here. And so jacket. So that's very important. So cheers.
Cheers to you. And Carlos, I just want to say thank you for spending so much time with me and my audience. The friends and clients that have watched this briefly, please go back and watch it in full. And if anybody has any questions about how to set up an incredible experience, I would be your contact, and then I will get in touch with Carlos. And be looking for potential group travel with trips and ships, luxury travel, and my independent aspects of that. My luxurious journeys and Lux Low Country travel are parts of, I'm an independent affiliate of her group, and I would love to bring a few people on one of these.
Absolutely. We're ready for you. And I spend a lot of my time with people like Susie doing quick you know, three-way calls or Zoom meetings, you know, going over itineraries and going all the details that you might have. So please use Susie as a resource. This is something that you can't not go on a website and just book it outright. You need a travel expert like Susie to really guide you through everything that I just talked about. I got to experience it firsthand. Susie has incredible experience. So use her experience to let, you know, and let her do all the worrying for you when it comes to organizing everything for you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, we're going to sign off tonight. Thanks again, Carlos, for joining me and everybody.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
Everybody watching and listening, thank you. And Carlos, you send that warm weather our way, please, in Colorado.
I will.
Thank you.
Take care. Enjoy. Bye-bye.
Good night.